beginning of part four titled The Key to Locating Your Prospect's Motivational Keys. Motivational keys are what propel people to action. But since each person has a different set of them, you'll need to test to see what motivates each prospect individually. And in this audio, you'll hear how to find out what kind of person your prospect is so that you can determine what will call them to action. The determining factors covered in this audio, number four, is: does your prospect answer in towards or away language? Is your prospect a procedures or options kind of person? Are they internal or external? Do they notice things that are the same or different? After you listen to audio four, you will begin to notice the different types of people in the different ways they are motivated. This is an important step, and once you master it, it may affect the way you talk to everyone, from your spouse to your boss. Now let's get going.
Now what's going to happen as you're filling in this worksheet? And again, let's take the example that I'm just using here, the watch. But it could be anything. It could be a car, it could be business advice or a consulting arrangement or anything. If I've asked them at first, what is it? How did they make the decision? And they say, oop, it was the way it looked. And now I'm going down the page and I say, what's important about the look? Or what does look actually mean to you? And they're going to say to me, oh, you know, it needs to be gold because gold goes with my clothes. Or it needs to be really thin. You know, it needs to look thin. Or it needs to have black face on it. Or whatever they say about look, and I'm writing that down, and I'm saying, okay, ultimately what's important about that? They're going to tell me. Now, as I'm going down, what's going to happen is sometimes they're going to mention a very specific thing, like the way it feels, or, you know, that it's thin. And as they say that, if you get good at listening to people, you're going to hear a little emphasis to certain words. They're going to put some emotion into certain words as they tell you this. Whenever I fill out a worksheet like this with somebody, and they add that little emotion to the word, I always circle that word. Those are what I like to call hot buttons. Now, the cool thing about when we're repeating this code back to somebody in the sales process, we've got the top there, and we've got everything in order. But quite honestly, as we're presenting it, we can actually substitute any of the things in the column for that item. So, for example, if I were repeating the strategy back to the person and the first thing they said was look, and as I've asked them what's important about look, they said, oop, that it be gold, and oop, that it look thin. As I'm repeating the strategy back to them, I don't have to say, okay, so the first thing would be the look. I could actually say, okay, so the first thing would be that it would be gold. Or I could substitute, okay, so the first thing is that it would be thin. See, I can actually use any one of the things in that column as I'm presenting it to them. And again, if I go to the second item, and that second item was quality. And let's say I asked them what quality meant. And maybe to them, quality means, you know, I want a watch that doesn't have a battery. See, it's really weird how sometimes you think quality means one thing and it actually means something else to somebody. So, I ask them what quality means and they say, oh, I want a mechanical winding watch. I don't want to have to put a battery into it. So, now as I'm doing the sales presentation, I can say, okay. Or as I'm repeating the code back to them and I'm making sure I've got it right, I would say to them, okay, so if it were a gold watch, and it was mechanical winding, and it was this price, then you'd buy it. And as I'm saying that, I should be seeing that head bobbing, that little slight nodding that they're going to do unconsciously because they can't help it, because it's their strategy, and it's ringing true to them unconsciously. So again, if we look at your sheet, You're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to put those in the correct order by asking them, what's more important, this or that? And with each one of those things, we're going to be asking them, can you tell me what this means? You know, what does view mean to you? Or what does quality mean to you? Or, you know, what does economical mean to you? And they're going to tell me. And then I'm going to listen for hot buttons. I'm going to listen for certain words that are very emotional when they mention those. And then when I'm firing back the strategy at them, I'm going to specifically want to use those emotional words, because those are the ones that are going to fire off the emotion. And remember, we started this by saying that buying is emotional and people justify it with logic. So, by doing this, people are going to tell me what emotions they're using to buy with. And I can literally fire those off. And what's really cool is sometimes when you see or hear these code words and you repeat them back to the person, again, you'll see the reaction in the person. The person will literally flush. Their, you know, face will turn red because, boom, you've nailed that emotion right on the head. And the person's literally just, wow, that's it. And when you're doing it this way, you're going to get phenomenally good rapport with the person. They're literally going to be thinking, wow, this person really understands what I want and what I'm looking for and what I need. And when we just give it back to them in the order that they need it in, unconsciously, they're going to have a really easy time. Fact is, it's going to be automatic. It's going to be like the combination to a safe. The safe's going to automatically open, or they're going to automatically, unconsciously, go, click, I've decided to buy. About this point, some of you are probably wondering, well, wait a minute, across the top of the page there, there's these other things, towards, away from, procedures, options, internal, external, same difference, convincer mode. And you've probably been wondering, what the heck are those? What are they for? Those are what I like to call motivation keys. What we're really going to find out here is what's motivating somebody. What's going to make them to take the decision, to make the automatic decision of they've got to buy it right now? What's going to push that emotion in a forward direction? What's going to get them motivated, so to speak? And each one of those is literally a motivation key. It's a thing that propels people to taking action. The first one is what we call towards or away from. A lot of times you won't even need to ask this question. You're going to hear it as you're eliciting their buying strategy, as you're asking them, ultimately, what's important about blank to you, or can you tell me how you're going to decide to buy? They're going to literally tell you whether it's towards or away from. For example, if somebody says, I don't want a car that's going to break down, what am I going to write? Not break down as the code. Now, is not breaking down towards or away from? It's away from breaking down. So it's a away from strategy. They're moving away from the pain of having this breakdown or having their car broken down. If somebody makes a statement like, ooh, I really want a school that my son can go to so that he can get a scholarship. Is that away from or towards? Well, it's a towards. So, really this towards, away from, you're not going to have to ask the question. You're literally just going to hear it. Now, sometimes in one part of the strategy, it's going to be away from. And in another part of the strategy, it may be towards. What's generally true overall, though, is a person will have a tendency. Maybe a lot of the strategy is going to be away from, or maybe a lot of the strategy is going to be towards, or maybe all of the strategies towards, but there was this big, giant moment there that you could hear when they were talking to you that they said, oh, what's really, really important is that I don't have a drive to work. I hate driving to work. I hate getting stuck in traffic. Well, what is that? That's an away from. And I'm going to know, ooh, you know, the fact that they emphasized that, the fact that they put some emotion into it when they were talking about it, I'm going to know, ooh, that's an away from. I'm going to circle it right on my worksheet there as I'm talking to them. And when I go to make the sale, when I go to repeat this back to them, that's the key part that I'm going to really kind of focus on. I'm going to push that button. Because when I push that button, the person's going to feel really motivated to take action. The next one you're going to see there is called procedures and options. And this is the way that people generally want to get things done. It's the way they want to go through the sales process. And the way we find out whether somebody's procedures or whether somebody's options is we ask what I would like to say is the why question. Why did you choose blank? So, for example, if we're trying to sell them a car, we'd say, why did you choose your last car? Or if we're selling them a house, we'd say, why did you choose your last house? Or if we're a real estate agent, we'd say, why did you choose your last agent? If I'm a business consultant and they've ever hired a consultant before, I would say, how did you hire that last consultant? Now, what happens is when I ask them this why question, options people literally hear why, and they'll give me one of those code words or two. They're going to tell me why. Well, it was because of the value. It was because the way it looked. Procedures people literally don't even hear the word why. And what happens is they're going to tell you a story about how it happened. They're going to tell you the series of events that led up to them making that decision. It's a little bit tough to kind of tell the difference here until you've done it a couple times, but once you get used to it, you'll literally recognize, again, when you ask a why question, the procedures people literally don't hear the word why. It doesn't register. They don't tell you why. They tell you how. And when they're telling you how, that tells you, they're how type of people. They're telling me procedures. Now, the reason this is important is because, again, in my sales presentation, I want to know this. If it's a procedures type person, I want to be telling them in my sales presentation, okay, this is the next step, and then this is the next step, and then this is the next step, and then here's what's going to happen. If it's an options person, and I start to tell them the steps of what's going to happen, they literally get bored instantly and tune me out. And they literally won't hear anything I say if I start to describe that. Options people literally just want to see the possibilities. They don't want to know the steps. They just want to know the possibilities. Whereas procedures people, they don't care about the possibilities. They don't care about what's going to happen. They want to know what's going to happen next. They want to know what's the next step. And this is really important as we're later on firing this code back at them. Because if we do it wrong, they're going to get turned off and they're not going to be motivated to make the decision. Again, it's one of those things where if it's just done a little bit wrong, unconsciously the person doesn't feel right. Unconsciously they feel like, something just not right here. And that's where we get the objection at the end. That's where the person says, well, I'm going to need to think about it. Or, well, you know, I'm just not sure this is the right one for me. Or, if it's a car, you know, I need to go check on some other lots. You know, you were the first one I went to. If we fired off the code correctly, they won't have any objections. They won't need to go to the other lot. They won't need to think about it. They'll automatically, right at that moment in time, make the decision. And that's why knowing these motivation keys is really important. That's why knowing whether or not the person is options-oriented or procedures-oriented is important, because as I'm firing this code back at them, I want to be able to build that into it. I want to say, okay, and here's the next step, and then here's the next step, and then here's what we're going to do, and then here's what we're going to do. Whereas as a procedures person, as the options person, I want to just be talking about the possibilities as I'm firing that buying strategy back at them. The next motivation key is what we call internal or external. And this is a key that has a lot to do with how the person, again, is motivated. And it has to do with, are they motivated really themselves, or are they motivated by some kind of outside source? Are they motivated by what other people think, or do they just make the decision themselves? And how we're going to elicit this is, again, we're going to ask them, how do you know that you bought the right watch? Or how will you know that you made the right decision in hiring me as a consultant? And if they make a statement like, well, I'll just know, then I know they're internal. If they make a statement like, well, my spouse says so, or if they make a statement like, well, you know, I know because everybody liked it, then I'll know they're driven by external. Now, sometimes people aren't totally one way or the other. So sometimes they'll kind of hedge this. They'll say, well, you know, I'll know it because my spouse will like it and I'll just feel it. In that case, I want to play back it both ways to them. So, again, just be asking this in this whole process of learning how to use the buying strategy and eliciting people's codes, you're going to need to practice this. You're going to need to learn to listen and hear what people are saying. So again, you know, go out there and ask somebody how they bought their watch, and then start to find out, is this person internal or externally motivated? And you'll start to really pick up on it right away, and you'll learn to catch this, and you'll learn how you start to fire it back at them. In your manual, you're going to notice a sheet or one of the pages there that's got three rectangles at the very top. And then right underneath those rectangles, it's going to say, what do you notice about the above boxes or the above rectangles? I want you to stop the program right now and just answer that question. You'll see it's got five spaces there. And what I want you to do is just write in those spaces, what do you notice about those boxes? Now, there's a reason why I had you do that. And the reason is because by answering that question, you're going to notice this next motivation key, which is called same or different. And you're going to notice, for example, some people are going to answer that and they're going to say, well, they're all rectangles. Well, they're all the same size. They're all whatever. If they're saying, if they're starting to notice how they're the same, then they're noticing sameness. Other people are going to answer the question. They're going to say, well, two of them are straight up and one of them on its side. And they're going to start telling me how they're different. Another way I often find this out about people is I often pull three coins out of my pocket, like a quarter, a dime, and a penny. And I just lay them down there on my notebook or on the table, and I ask people, I say, tell me What do you notice about these coins? Just describe these coins to me. And what will happen is people will say things like, well, two of them are heads, one's tails. Or they might say, well, one of them's copper and two of them are silver. Two of them are small and one's big. And when they say that, I know, they're noticing difference. Other times people will say things like, well, they're all round. They're all money. They're all metal. And when they say things like that, they're telling me how they're all the same. And again, when we're talking about this, some people are totally one way, and some people are totally the other. But some people are a little bit of both. So, for example, some people might have noticed about the boxes, well, they're all rectangles. And two of them are straight up, and one's over on its side. What that tells me is that person's noticing sameness with difference. Or somebody might notice, well, you know, one's going horizontal and two of them are vertical and they're all the same size. In that case, I notice, they're noticing difference and then sameness. This can be really, really important in the sales process because if we've got somebody that's only noticing difference, they're the kind of people that normally in a sales presentation, a lot of salespeople have troubles with them. And the reason people have troubles with people who notice differences is because every time you say something as a salesman, their automatic unconscious response is to notice the differences. They can't help it. They don't mean to. It's just a natural unconscious process. So if I'm a car salesman and I say, ooh, isn't that a beautiful color? A person who notices difference is going to go, well, not really. Or, ooh, I don't necessarily like it. If I'm selling a house, the person that's noticing difference is always going to come up with something. Great example. I was teaching this to a real estate agent one time, and she went, oh my gosh, that totally explains this couple I've been dealing with. The woman loves everything that I've been showing to her, and the husband keeps coming up with stuff. And I said, well, run this little test, and I'm willing to bet that the husband is totally noticing difference. He doesn't notice sameness at all. And as a salesman, this is one of those where you almost treat them like the two-year-old, where you can use reverse psychology on them. And reverse psychology, or that thing that we used to call reverse psychology, works really well on people with difference. So, for example, she said, well, this guy would come in and, you know, the wife would love everything about the house, but he'd notice, oop, you know, the floor's got a slight little wobble in it or something. And I said to the real estate agent, okay, next time you show him something like that, and he notices the floor, say, of course, you know, there's nothing you could do to make that floor smooth. Now, somebody who notices difference is automatically going to mismatch that, and they're going to go, well, yeah, there is. I could probably do this. And the agent came back, and she went, oh, my gosh, that worked perfectly. I've wasted 6 months dealing with these people. I've shown them a dozen houses the wife likes and every single one the husband's hated. And I just did what you said. Before I even showed the husband something, I said, and you're going to hate this kitchen. And he'd walk in and go, oh, it's not so bad. And she finally sold him a house. So, it's not always important when people are noticing sameness or when people are noticing sameness with difference, but it's going to be really, really important if you've got that one person who's noticing total difference. In that particular case, you're going to want to use a little bit of reverse psychology with them because that helps them in the decision-making process. Like I said, This is just a way that they're processing information. It's a way that they take information that's coming at them and notice it. It's not good or bad. You know, people who notice difference, they're not, you know, bad people or anything. It's just the way they sort information. They just happen to notice how things are different in the world. And we want to use that in the sales process.
This is the end of part 4. Please continue to part 5.